October 31st, 2022, Ashley Bush stepped into an older tan pickup with a woman she knew as Lucy. It was someone Ashley had met online while looking for a job where she could work from home. It was the second time she had met Lucy in her hunt for a job. But there was no job, and there was no Lucy. The woman behind the wheel was Amber Waterman. And what followed was what Benton County Sheriff Sean Holloway would later describe as the most horrific case he had ever seen in the entirety of his law enforcement career. This is Crime in the Ozarks. This podcast is a product of the Northwest Arkansas Community Journalism Project. Learn more at nwajournalism.org. Before we get into the case, a word from our sponsor. Southern Loft believes that your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for your living room or a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they have just what you need. So when you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College in Fayetteville or call 479-856-6100. Today's case is one of the most disturbing cases I've ever heard of. This case discusses topics of murder and violence against a pregnant person. Please keep this in mind when choosing how and when you listen. Now, let's get into the case. Part 1, Two Very Different Women. Ashley Nicole Boone Bush was born August 1, 1989, here in Rogers, to Randy and Rhonda Boone. She loved sunflowers and the color yellow. Her favorite holiday was Halloween. Ashley was a young mother in 2022, only 33 years old. Her aunt Cindy Kofer described her as a trusting and adventurous person with a deep love for her children.
I don't know how to say specifics, you know, because you're talking about kids when they're born till they're in their 30s having their own kids, you know. She brought us joy every time she came around. Silly, goofy, whatever. Going on vacations. My wife, my other daughter, her singing as loud as I can, totally off key. But we were singing, going down the road, going camping or to the lake or whatever we're doing, and just memories like that, jumping into the ocean and freezing them. It's like, yes, actually it's December. So, but you know, there's just so many things that I could say, you know. She was really carefree. She jumped off the boat. She didn't know what. It's like, Ashley, did we check the depth? You know, she was just a carefree kid. And she grew up into a mom that was all about her kids. You know, don't matter if they were making Christmas decorations or if they were getting ready to go trick-or-treating or. Cheese dip all over their faces, whatever it was, she took care of their needs.
Her aunt Terry Tethers would later write in a victim impact statement that, quote, more than anything in this world, Ashley wanted to be a mother. Being a mom was at the core of who she was. Ashley had three young children who she adored. They were reported to be 8, 7, and 2 years old at the time of her disappearance. In 2022, Ashley was soon to have her fourth child. This was something she had always dreamed of, and certainly based on family statements, Ashley was a dedicated and wonderful mother. She was engaged to fiancé Josh Willis, and though they had their own set of issues, Josh stated that everything was great in their relationship. But unfortunately, Ashley would soon meet Amber Waterman. Amber was 42 years old and 9 years older than Ashley at the time, and she was married to husband Jamie Waterman. By Amber's own account, the marriage was not going well. She accused her husband of cheating on her, and it seemed like the couple also had serious financial issues. So much so, she said she was afraid of losing their home in Pineville, Missouri. All of these marital issues would inspire her to concoct a plan. Amber would later tell authorities she thought she could save her marriage by pretending to be pregnant and finding a woman who was willing to let her adopt their baby. I'm not sure where she thought that this would work, but she created Lucy, a fictitious social media profile intended to lure in a pregnant woman who would allow her to take their child and claim it as her own. After creating the account, she told family and friends that she was pregnant. She basically set the clock by doing this. She had 9 months to avoid being caught in the lie. Amber said she started meeting with other pregnant women about possibly adopting their babies, but with no luck. On September 6th, Ammer made a Facebook post of two sonogram images with the message saying, quote, "I need some encouragement, guys. The closer time gets, the more doubt I can do this alone." At this point, there's still time to come clean. Admit the lie, move on. But Amber would choose not to come clean. On October 23rd, Ashley made a post in the Facebook group Moms Helping Moms NWA. The post read as the following. "Located in Maysville, Arkansas. I've entered my third trimester, but I'm needing everything for my little girl. The doctor has put me off work trying to keep the little escape artist in a little longer. I go back to the doctor on Tuesday to see if labor has progressed or if I'm still dilated only two. I'm starting to have issues with my blood pressure and afraid I'm not going to be able to work anymore. We had an infant car seat, pack and play, and bouncer in storage. I went yesterday. The infant car seat expires at the end of the month, and there are holes in the pack and play and bouncer. I'm not even going to lie, I'm scared to death this baby's going to come way too early. We have to start from square one. We also have a registry at Walmart under Josh Willis or Ashley Bush, my legal name. It's here I should know Ashley and Josh seem to be struggling financially. Josh was unable to work since 2019, so Ashley was the sole provider for the family at the time. She was a cook at the time, so I think that she was trying to find something that could work with both listening to her doctor's orders, but also having some sort of income for their family. It's unclear if this is the exact post that attracted Ashley to Amber, but sometime after this post, Amber began messaging Ashley via Facebook Messenger. Ashley was looking for remote work, and Amber identified herself as Lucy. They first met in person on October 28th, 2022, at the Gravette Public Library. Amber told police she gave Ashley documents meant to help her apply for a job. After the first meeting, Ashley left unharmed. I'm sure this initial meeting also gave her some peace of mind, or maybe some comfort or relief. From the Facebook post, again, it looked like they were struggling financially, so I'm sure she felt like this was a great step in the right direction. She had found a solution for her problems. On Amber's end, there was still time to put an end to this charade. She still had time to avoid tragedy. But unfortunately, on Ashley's favorite holiday, the two met again with horrific consequences.
Watch your families. Watch their backs. She was just trying to get some things to help them get by. She was put in a situation that who's going to think that that kind of thing is going to happen? You're not. So you've got to be aware ahead of it. Don't be putting your spouse out there or your loved one or whoever to try to get something for free when it's putting them in the most vulnerable position they could be.
Part 2, a kidnapping and a murder. At 11:45 a.m. October 31st, 2022, Ashley met Amber at the Handy Stop convenience store in Maysville, Arkansas. Ashley believed she was being taken to meet a supervisor to discuss employment, so she got into the pickup driven by Amber. Amber later told prosecutors she drove around Bella Vista and even up towards her own home, telling Ashley she was looking for her boss's house. She said at one point Ashley worried about her children, saying she was worried about getting back home in time. It was Halloween and she had plans with her kids. Finally, Amber said that she told Ashley she just couldn't find her boss's place. At that point, they started heading back to Maysville. Ashley was texting her fiance on the way back, and prosecutors said the text didn't suggest she was concerned about anything during the ride back to the gas station. But when they got back to the intersection near the Handy Stop, Amber turned north, away from the store.
What did she say when you didn't stop at the Handy Stop?
She didn't say anything. She just looked at me like I was crazy.
Amber said she heard Ashley's fiance yell, "Hey," as she kept driving instead of stopping. Then Ashley's phone started ringing, and Amber said she told her to throw it out of the truck. At first, Ashley didn't do it, but then Amber pulled out a gun.
It took a couple of times of me telling her to throw it out.
Okay.
And she threw it out.
Back at the Handy Stop, Josh jumped into his vehicle and took off after them, but he couldn't find the tan pickup. He assumed Amber had taken Ashley to his mother's house on the Oklahoma side of Highway 20 because they had planned to go trick-or-treating with his parents. Josh drove to his parents' house, but did not find Ashley there. After this, he began blowing up her phone, sending text messages and calling, but he got no response. His family even tried contacting Ashley, but they also did not get a response. After he called various hospitals, he finally contacted the sheriff's office to report the incident. Ashley was missing. Amber said she kept driving, and Ashley stared at her, clearly afraid. Amber then threw Ashley's purse from the truck. From there, she headed towards her home in Pineville, Missouri. About 3 miles before they reached the house, Amber said she shot Ashley in the chest twice.
Just something in my head just slipped.
Amber said Ashley grasped her chest and moaned. By the time they arrived to the house, Ashley had stopped breathing. After parking the truck, Amber did the unthinkable. She grabbed a nearby knife and cut Ashley's baby from her lifeless body. Amber removed Valkyrie Grace Willis from her mother's womb, but the baby was not breathing. Amber called her husband, Jamie, telling him she had given birth, but the baby was not breathing. He came to the home and they drove to Longview, Missouri, where they met paramedics that had been called. But Amber did not want to go to the hospital and refused medical care multiple times. So the paramedics took the baby and Amber and her husband went home. Part 3, a failed cover-up. When police came to question Amber about what happened, she told Jamie her friend Lucy had killed Ashley. After they left, Amber showed her husband Ashley's body, continuing to say it was her friend Lucy that had killed her. Amber said she told Jamie they needed to do something with the body, and he used his truck to drag her body to a burn pit. They tried to burn her body, but then they realized that after some hours, the burn pit was not going to make the evidence of the killing disappear. They wrapped Ashley's body in a tarp and drove her remains to the woods where they left them. When they returned home, they began to clean the truck, hoping to make the last of the evidence go away. A sickening detail of the case is that the Watermans had a funeral for the baby. But the act wasn't fooling anyone. Police knew something wasn't right. On November 1st, Josh located Ashley's phone lying on the east side shoulder on Highway 43. From the cell phone, detectives were able to trace Lucy Barrow's Facebook profile as being registered to Jamie Waterman. The following day, police showed up to the Waterman property. At first, the two cooperated with police. They consented to a search of their property and turned over electronics. Additionally, Amber's tan Chevrolet truck was seized as evidence. In an interview with police on November 2nd, Amber claimed she used to work with Lucy Burrows at Walmart and that they were ex-friends. Additionally, officers looked into the tan truck at the Waterman property and they observed stains that appeared to be blood on the steering wheel, center console, and headliner. They returned to the Pineville home on November 3rd, 2022 and discovered Ashley's remains on the property. That same day, Amber and Jamie Waterman were arrested. Amber Waterman would later plead guilty to federal charges of kidnapping, resulting in death, and causing the death of a child in utero.
She received 2 life sentences.
Jamie Waterman ended up pleading guilty to federal charges of accessory after the fact related to his wife's crimes. He received 75 months in federal prison. But Amber still faced 2 counts of capital murder in Arkansas, and prosecutors wanted to seek the death penalty.
Obviously, I think it's a case that merits the death penalty. Like Ms. Moore said, it's a brutal and horrible crime. It's unspeakable, and I think it's really important to really gauge and know where her family comes down on that point. And I want to be sensitive to that and have been. And all along, they've wanted to seek the death penalty. And since I agree that legally I think we can and should seek the death penalty, then as long as that's what they want, that's what I'll be doing.
However, the case dragged on over arguments about double jeopardy, mental fitness for trial, and even a growth on Amber's brain. Eventually, with no end in sight, a death penalty conviction seemed unlikely. Ashley's family and prosecutors decided to stop seeking a jury trial that might end with Amber being sentenced to death. Instead, on February 4th, 2026, Amber Waterman pled guilty to 2 state counts of capital murder and was sentenced to 2 life sentences. Part 4, What's Left Behind. When Amber Waterman agreed to plead guilty to her Arkansas charges, she sat down with prosecutors and her attorney and recorded her recounting of what she said happened. Much of what we described in this episode comes from that account. But the truth can be an elusive thing. She claimed to have tried to save Ashley's life after shooting her. She claimed to have tried to help the baby breathe. She claimed to have never intended to kill Ashley until the last moment. Chief Deputy Prosecutor Joshua Robinson made clear he has his doubts on just how forthcoming she was. Only Amber knows exactly what she did and why. And in the end, it doesn't change the outcome. The damage left behind is great. It echoes through both her and Ashley's families, through any law enforcement officer or prosecutor who had to investigate her crimes, through the communities set on edge and rocked by the violence at her hands.
I mean, the reality is these cases are never satisfying. You know, I always tell families when I meet with them, no matter how this thing ends, you're not going to feel happy about it. It's always sad from the first day to the last day, and then for the rest of the lives of the families.
You have to move forward from the littles, all our babies become littles. But healing the wounds, healing the found, it's just something you live with day by day. You wake up, you go on. You got other family members that depends on you. You got other babies to teach, hopefully, what you battle for. Yeah, just keep moving forward.
This has been Crime in the Ozarks. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette is dedicated to staying up to date on all crime occurring in our community. To read our coverage of this story and others, visit nwaonline.com. This podcast is a product of the Northwest Arkansas Community Journalism Project. Learn more at nwajournalism.org.